Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 2, chapters entitled Maharaj Nimi Meets the Nine Yogendras. And today we're on text 47. Acharyam eva haraye, pujam yachodayate, nata bhakteshu chanyeshu, sa bhakta prakita smita, acharyam eva haraye. Pujam yashvadayate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakita smita. Vaishnavas? Archayam, deity, eva, certainly, haraye, to Lord Hari, pujam, worship, ya, who, shradaya, faithfully, ihate, engages, na, nat, tat, of Krishna, bhakteshu, toward the devotees, cha, and anyeshu, toward people in general, sa, he, bhakta prakrita, materialistic devotee, smita, is called. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not behave properly toward other devotees or people in general, is called a prakrita bhakta, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position. Before I read portions of the purport, and it's a very long purport, I just want to give you a sneak preview of what's up ahead. 7 years ago, about 7.5 years ago, I was in Udupi in an Ayurvedic clinic doing Panchakarma, and I was going to be teaching Nectar of Devotion, I'm sorry, Nectar of Instruction for the first time in ISKCON Juhu Beach Temple. And so I was studying, you know, between treatments, and I came to the purport of the fifth text, the nectar of instruction, which gives the different levels of spiritual advancement. And Prabhupada, he says that one should not remain a Kanishta Adhikari, but should come to the Madhyama platform as soon as possible. And then later in the purport, he says that one should have the intelligence to know the difference between a Kanishta Adhikari, a Madhyama Adhikari, and an Uttama Adhikari. And a devotee should know his own position and should not try to imitate a devotee situated on a higher platform. So when I read that, I started thinking, I was like, I don't know my own position. I don't know the position of others. And it was really, God, you know, I got to teach in 2 weeks. So I was scheduled, my whole family was with me, and we were scheduled to go to Chopati and Pune for Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja. Actually, it's 7 years ago, almost exactly. And there was a chikungunya epidemic going on there. It was like some lethal bacterial infection. It was killing people all over Maharashtra. And so it was an unusual Janmashtami because none of the public was allowed to attend the Janmashtami celebration or Vyasa Puja. It was just devotees that were living in the temple. So it was a very intimate association. And I asked Govinda, he's one of the leaders there, whether there was anybody. Because I had a strategy, I kind of hatched a strategy, and I'd run it by Atul Krishna, who's one of the main Shastric teachers in Mayapur, that maybe I do some type of, like Dhir Govinda, years ago he did his PhD and did an assessment where a person could assess themselves on how he's situated in the modes of material nature. And that was something that some of our teachers used when they were teaching that in the Bhagavad Gita. So there'd be an understanding, you know, how the modes influence people. And, you know, he actually proved, you know, through his PhD thesis that if someone's chanting Hare Krishna, then he gets elevated in the modes of material nature. They did a before and after check. All right, so I thought of the idea that, well, maybe a good thing to do, because I don't have the intelligence, and probably a lot of other devotees are in similar situations to know the difference, and know where they're personally situated in comparison with others. So I suggested, well, maybe we do an assessment similar, you know, kind of in the same format that was used with the modes of material nature to position oneself. And we weren't worrying so much about the Uttama Adhikari platform, but at least the Kanishta and the Madhyama platform. So he thought it was a really good idea. So I got to Chopati, and I asked Govinda if there were any devotees that were statisticians. Because, you know, when Atul Krishna sent me what Dear Govinda had done, you know, there was like 2 pages giving a statistical analysis, and I couldn't get past the first paragraph because there were all these, all this jargon that was specific for people in this you know, statistics profession. So anyway, and there just happened to be someone. Actually, it was a friend of a friend of mine. And so we actually went on a 2-day marathon. It was an interesting Janmashtami. You know, I had a bunch of questions. You know, I'd researched the, particularly the previous verse and this verse for symptoms, you know, of the Kanishta and the Madhyama. And he helped me put it into questions, and then he put gradations so people could evaluate it between 1 and 7, and also, you know, attitudes they could evaluate between 1 and 7, and then implementation between 1 and 7. And he came out with, you know, a statistically valid self-assessment that I'm actually going to hand out at the end of the class. And a lot of people kind of tend to take off before class ends, but if you're out there in Wi-Fi land, you can just send me an email and request it, or give me a call, My email address is johnmastamy108@gmail.com. And I sent it to you because it's actually something. And, you know, I've given that assessment probably about 5 times in different courses that I've taught. And all the devotees really liked it. It kind of, the light started going on of where they needed to go in their own spiritual lives. So I only printed 15 copies because that's usually how many people show up for my class. I didn't want to waste paper. There's more here than that. So anyway, we got soft copies. All right, so that was a long prelude. Let me get on with the purport here. But it's, anyway, Prabhupada really emphasized the importance of this, you know, particularly in Nectar of Instruction, but it's throughout his books, you know, there's a prioritization given to this categorization. That's a rhyme, prioritization according to this categorization. Okay, purport. And Keshava and I have teamed up on that. You know, I've marked different places where I'm going to stop reading and maybe make some comments, and then where I'll start reading again. And so he knows, so we'll jump forward pretty quickly on this. Srila Madhvacharya comments that one in the lowest stage of devotional service faithfully worships the deity in the temple, but is not aware that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually all-pervading. The same mentality may be seen in the Western countries, where people commit all types of sinful activities in their homes and in the street, and then piously go to a church and pray to God for mercy. Anybody ever hear of that before? Actually, God is in our home. God is in the street. God is in our office. God is in the forest. God is everywhere, and therefore God should be worshipped everywhere by the process of devotional service as at his lotus feet. So what does that describe? God is everywhere. What? Okay, so that's the Uttama, Vaishnava. As stated in verse 41 of this chapter, Kam vayum agnim shalilam mahim cha jyotim shi disho dumadin sarit sumudram cha hare shariram yatkim cha bhutam pranamed ananya. A devotee should not see anything as being separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Ether, fire, air, water, earth, the sun, and other luminaries, all living beings, the directions, trees, and other planets, the rivers and oceans, whatever a devotee experiences, he should consider to be an expansion of Krishna. Thus, seeing everything that exists within creation as the body of the Supreme Lord, the devotee should offer sincere respects to the entire expansion of the Lord's body. This is the vision of the Mahabhagavat devotee of the Lord. Srila Madhvacharya states that a Madhyama Adhikari, a devotee in the intermediate stage, sees the Supreme Personality of God as the cause of all causes, and therefore offers his love to the Lord. Such a devotee is a sincere friend of other devotees, is merciful to the ignorant, and avoids the atheists. And this is was covered very nicely yesterday by Tamahar. That should ring a bell with devotees. Nonetheless, this is the Madhyama, nonetheless, tad vashantvam na janati savasya jagato pitu. His realization of the all-pervading feature of the Supreme Lord is imperfect, although he does have a general sense that everyone is ultimately meant to be a devotee of the Supreme Lord. He tries to use everything in the service of Krishna, aware that everything belongs to the Lord. He may be bewildered by association with atheistic men. Okay, so really trying hard, but you know, sometimes he may get influenced by the modes of material nature if he falls into the association of atheists. Okay, so now here we're going into the symptoms of the Kanishtha. Srila Madhvacharya states, I'm going to skip the Sanskrit because it's a you know, there's very limited time. Kanishtha has no idea that the Supreme Lord has the power to exist outside a temple, or a church or temple. Furthermore, being puffed up by his own ceremonial worship, a Kanishtha Adhikari cannot imagine that anyone is more pious or religious than he. And he's not even aware that other devotees are more advanced. Sounds like new Bhakta-itis. Thus, he cannot understand the Madhyama or Uttama standard of devotional service. And sometimes, because of his false pride, he criticizes the more advanced devotees of the Lord, neglects them, or simply has no understanding of their exalted position as preachers or completely self-realized souls. So this is one of the obvious liabilities of being on the Kanishtha platform. One is prone towards hatimata, or committing Vaishnava aparad, which just really stymies spiritual development in a major way. So that's one good reason, you know, to get to the Madhyama platform as soon as possible. Okay, now we're jumping ahead. You ready, Keshava Prabhu? Because the Kanishtha Adhikari is ignorant of the higher realms of devotional service and the unlimited transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness, he sees devotional service merely as a religious aspect of life, but thinks that life is many enjoyable and worthwhile non-devotional aspects. Therefore, he becomes angry with second-class devotees who experience that Krishna is everything. When second-class devotees who experience that Krishna is everything criticize the non-devotees. Madhvacharya says that such a person, because of his rudimentary faith in Krishna, is considered a devotee, but he's a bhakta-dham, a devotee on the lowest standard. If such materialistic devotees follow the rules and regulations of deity worship, they will gradually be elevated to a higher standard and eventually become pure devotees of the Lord, unless they commit offenses against other devotees, in which case their advancement will be checked. So, again, you know, there's a essential lacking, you know, in the Kanishtha, and that's that he hasn't developed his love for Krishna so much. He understands that Krishna is God, and he's there. He chants japa most of the time, but it's just that's it. Krishna in his deity form, or Krishna in his name. That's okay. This is God, but he doesn't have enough love so that he can have love for Krishna's devotees or other jivas. So there's a lack of respect that just kind of goes with the package of being on the Kanishtha. And this is why the Kanishtha, by definition, doesn't know how to behave with other devotees or with people in general. There's a lack of respect. There's a lack of vision, of understanding that this is Krishna's eternal part and parcel. And actually, I should love him. I should love this person just as I love Krishna. We love the spiritual master because he's a representative of Krishna, but we should also love other devotees and have this respectful attitude. And if we have that respect and we have that love, then the chances are, because the heart is being transformed by the process of devotional service, the chances of us committing offense, of even being critical, are greatly diminished. So it's, you know, there's a shift in consciousness, is a shift in vision that takes place as one goes step by step from Kanishtha to Madhyama to Uttama. And on the Uttama platform, there's even greater love, greater respect. Okay, so we're ready for the next session, huh? According to Srila Jiva Goswami, since a Kanishtha Adhikari cannot properly respect other devotees, since a Kanishtha Adhikari who cannot properly respect other devotees will certainly fail to offer respects to ordinary living entities who are not even devotees. A Kanishtha Adhikari is useless for practical preaching work unless he comes to a higher platform of understanding.
Phew,
strong statement, huh? Okay, now we're going to, in the purport, there'll be discussion on the qualification for advancement. Srila Jiva Goswami says, because the Kanishtha Adhikari's faith is not actually based on the statements of Vedic literature, he cannot understand the exalted position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within everyone's heart. Therefore, he cannot actually manifest love of Godhead, nor can he understand the exalted position of the devotees of the Lord. Krishna is so glorious that Krishna's intimate associates must also be glorious, but this is unknown to Kanishtha. Similarly, the essential qualification of a Vaishnava, which is to offer all respects to others, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya, Sadahari, is also conspicuous by its absence in the Kanishtha Adhikari. Prabhupada translated this verse in Madhya Lila, chapter 22. He gives it a little different translation than what is given in the previous, or in today's translation. So I think I'll read it because it kind of underscores this whole aspect of the qualification for advancement. A prakriti bhakta, a materialistic devotee, does not purposely study the shastra and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Consequently, he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regulative principles learned from his guru or from his family who worships the deity. He is to be considered on the material platform, although he's trying to advance in devotional service. Such a person is a bhakta praya, neophyte devotee, or bhakta abhas, for he is a little enlightened by Vaishnava philosophy. So this whole point of firm conviction of the truth and validity of Shastra, you know, that's lacking. But this is also the qualification that the Kanishtha must acquire in order to come to the Madhyama platform. This is, you know, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is covered earlier in the same, I think it's text 20, Madhya Lila chapter 20, text 64 through 70. There's a whole discussion, and Krishnadas Kaviraj is referencing Rupa Goswami's 1, 2, 15 through 19, where these different levels of qualification. And Pran Govinda very expertly made a chart when he gave class a couple days ago of this. You know, that the Kanishtha Adhikari, this is a level of qualification for making spiritual advancement, is he has weak faith and he has little knowledge. So when he meets the opposing argument, he can easily be bewildered and he can lose it. He can bloop, so to speak. Okay, now, actually, I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary on this verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I think it's 17. He says that when he comes together again with his guru, then that bewilderment, he can overcome it. You know, so it's, he's not lost, for sure. And we see this, you know, in the beginning of devotees, they come and they go and come back. But so then the Madhyama Adhikari, you know, he has a reasonable level of Shastric knowledge, but he can't defeat all opposing arguments. But he has strong faith, so he's not going to get bewildered, you know, if he meets opposing arguments. That will stimulate him to, well, let me go and look it up. Let me ask Pran Govinda. You know, maybe he knows the answer to this argument that I was defeated with. So then the Uttama, he's got complete knowledge. No adverse argument he can't defeat. And he's got complete faith, super deep faith. So these are, Prabhupada, for the most part, uses the Kanishta Adhikari and the Kanishta Bhakta and the Madhyama Adhikari and the Madhyama Bhakta interchangeably. And the Uttama Adhikari and the Uttama Bhakta interchangeably throughout his books. There's some exceptions to that. Later in the same chapter, 71, Prabhupada, Rati Prema, this is a translation. Rati Prema Tara Tara Tamye. That this is another kind of a categorization, that the level of advancement is based upon love and attachment for Krishna. Okay, and so this is what we're actually dealing with. And it goes on to describe that mentions these three verses. That's what's being described by Krishna Das Kaviraj when he says it, these three verses. He goes, first he deals with the qualifications for advancing, then he deals with those levels of advancement. But we can see how they're interconnected. So I asked some sannyasis, why did he kind of put them together like that? And he said, just to make it simple for us. Okay? But there's some advantage to breaking them down, because we can see if we want to come to that Madhyama platform, it's important for us to increase our knowledge and our faith in Shastra. It's actually a very important thing. This is a discreet promotion for the Bhakti Shastri course. Okay, it really makes a difference, and I have statistical evidence of the difference that it makes. There's 6,200 devotees that have taken Bhakti Shastri. They've gotten Bhakti Shastri degrees in the movement now. There were under 400 in the year 2000. But practically every single one of them, and I had Atmananda, and he recently relocated, and he came and took Bhakti Shastri in Mayapur 10 years ago. And he says he's still going on the basis of that powerful experience that he went through. Practically everyone goes through a really transformational experience. And it makes sense. This is what we're supposed to be doing, to come to a higher level of Krishna consciousness. This is the qualification for advancing. And so one's japa becomes better because he takes it much more seriously. He's got the sambandha gyan, his intelligence is guided by the strong spiritual intelligence. He understands that he's got to deal properly with other devotees, so he watches it, doesn't go off the deep end with and lose it as much as he used to, because he realizes it's adversarial to his, it's against his spiritual advancement. And he's cultivating more and more, this love for Krishna. Okay, so where are we now? So I've read this translation that Prabhupada gives in Madhya 22, and then I'm just going to keep reading the where I left off in the purport, one last sentence in this section. If such a person, however, has faith in the Vedic literature and tries to understand the statements of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, he will gradually be elevated to the second and first class stages of devotional service. Okay, so now we're going to skip to right towards the end of the purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur states that after hundreds of lifetimes of faithfully worshipping the deity of Lord Vasudev with external paraphernalia, hundreds of lifetimes, one realizes the true nature of his transcendental name and mantras, and the bondage of one's materialistic mentality slackens. Okay, this is a real pivotal paragraph. This is paraphrasing Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's commentary on this verse. In this way, As a Kanishtha gradually comes to perceive the mental activities of a devotee and tries seriously to advance to a higher stage, his materialistic conceptions will go away of their own accord. He then exhibits loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and makes friendship with the devotees who are the dearmost sons of the Lord. And by appreciating the universal quality of devotional service to Krishna, he becomes very much eager to engage other innocent people in the service of the Lord. Further, as he begins to make significant advancement, he becomes inimical to anything or anyone that hinders the progress of his devotional life. And thus he avoids atheistic people who cannot benefit by good instruction. Okay, so from my understanding, this is a real key, you know, to going from the Kanishtha to the Madhyama platform. Now, it's a little bit, maybe a little bit discouraging, you know, how Bhaktisiddhanta first starts his commentary. He says, after hundreds of lifetimes of worshiping the deity with external paraphernalia, one realizes the true nature of the transcendental name and mantras. So, I just had an email exchange with Giri Raswami, and he's marathoning on his Juhu book. And one of my favorite pastimes in Juhu, which just kind of really made a huge impact on me, was a discussion that took place between Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. And most of you know that the Juhu development was fraught with incredible levels of challenges. There was Mr. Nair, you know, who did a deal with the devotees and sold them all this land, but his intention was to just cheat them. And, you know, after all the money was there, you know, then the contract wasn't being fulfilled, and, you know, the devotees had already built a kind of a temporary structure over the deities and an altar. And then this Mr. Nair, you know, he paid the police to come in, and he actually had, the police actually were dragged a Vaishnavi by her hair off the altar. And then they started dissembling, you know, this makeshift altar right over Radharasa Bihari. And it was just about ready to collapse when, you know, I don't know, somehow or other Prabhupada got another, you know, higher level government official to come in and stop the police from doing their nonsense. I mean, it was kind of one thing after another. So one day, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he exclaimed, this was in a lecture that was transcribed, that was posted on the Prabhupada SED conference in the PamHo.net email system. Yeah, I saw it about like maybe 6-7 years ago. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he exclaimed, Srila Prabhupada, how can I think of Krishna? My mind is simply filled with temple finances. Okay, so then Prabhupada responded, yes, so many lifetimes we've wasted on ourselves. If just in this one lifetime we can dedicate heart and soul to pushing on Lord Chaitanya's movement, then at the end, even if we're not perfect, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, will personally come and take us back to Godhead. So this was like a promise that Prabhupada gave. Just like Krishna gave a promise that he wouldn't fight, you know, but he broke it to preserve the promise of his devotee, Bhishma Dev. So, I won't go into that whole thing. But I saw this, you know, the reason it stands out so much in my mind, the whole Juhu episode was just a tribute to Prabhupada's transcendental vision, and it just kept going no matter what. I mean, Prabhupada demonstrated that, you know, on the Jaladutta, two heart attacks, kept going, you know, coming into, you know, Lower East Side, you know, staying with, a drug hippie and, who kept dog food in the refrigerator. I mean, he just kept going no matter what. But here's like, you know, once the movement was established, unbelievable levels of challenges that took place. They actually, you know, prayed to Lord Nisringadev to take Mr. Nair away, and shortly afterwards, Mr. Nair left his body. Right, you know, and then his wife came, very repentant, you know, pious lady, and apologized for everything, and then Juhu went up. So I saw this take place with one of my closest friends, you know, in the last 40 years. You know, we were Sankirtan partners for 18 years. This is my friend Nirguna Prabhu, who left his body in Mayapur, and we cared for him for the last 3 months of his life, and he just came to a very, very, very high level of Krishna consciousness, even though he, you know, he was always recognized as a sincere, enthusiastic devotee, but he wasn't seen as some big gun. You know, he wasn't a Tamal Krishna Maharaj or, you know, any big super advanced devotee, but yet the level of Krishna consciousness that he came to at the end blew everyone's mind. That's about an hour and a half presentation. I can't do it now. But it just gave me so much faith in Prabhupada's promise. So the point is that we don't have to go through hundreds of lifetimes of worshiping the deity on the external platform. We just have to dedicate our, and this is actually the kind of the standard understanding, you know, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that it takes multiple lifetimes. But because of Prabhupada's level of Shakti, we can do it in one lifetime. We just have to give heart and soul to pushing on Lord Chaitanya's movement. Simple. I mean, there's a lot of fine print in a contract, but, you know, that's what it takes, right? And so we get special mercy. And, of course, all of this, you know, coming from the Kanishta to the Madhyama platform, from the Madhyama to the Uttama platform, it all involves the association of devotees. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Sadhu Sangha. You know, the association of devotees is essential for advancement in Krishna consciousness. It can't be done any other way. Matter of fact, this is why Prabhupada established ISKCON. It's not just that we associate with Srila Prabhupada, of course, that's our most important person to associate with, but with each other. Prabhupada says in text 4, that he established of Nectar of Instruction, and he established ISKCON to facilitate the loving exchanges between devotees. And he says also in the purport that one, by engaging in these six loving exchanges, one can fully realize his relationship with Krishna. So super, super important, you know, these loving exchanges. Okay, so, boy, I got another 5 pages to go here, but the time's not really working on my behalf here. So I think I will make some real quick points before we close. Here's from Madhya Lila 1674. The Madhyama Vaishnava can awaken others to Krishna consciousness and engage them in duties whereby they can advance. It is therefore said in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'll skip to Bengali. One cannot understand the value of touchstone until it turns iron into gold. One should judge by action, not by promise. And just a real quick one from Jiva Dharma. A diseased person cannot treat himself. He must be given the compassionate care of an expert physician who tolerates the expected misbehavior of his patient. By administering his association, compassion, and spiritual instructions, the Madhyama Vaishnava can correct the wrong views of the Kanishta Vaishnava and promote him to the level of a Madhyama Vaishnava pure devotee. This practice of mercy is essential for the Madhyama Vaishnava. Kripam Budhir Ya Paraduka Duki. Now this is Raghunath Das Goswami glorifying Sanatana Goswami, you know, that the devotee is an ocean of mercy. He's not worried about his own challenging circumstances. He's just filled with compassion for other jivas, you know, that are suffering, the Bali Shesha. So he gives kripa. So this is the heart of the preacher, and it's also the mood of Srila Prabhupada's mission. Right from the very beginning, you know, when someone joins a movement, this whole emphasis on preaching is given. I know just before I, the same day that I met my Diksha Guru, Sats Rup Maharaj, and the next day I was to be initiated, you know, he had a disciples meeting of those that were to take Diksha. And the whole meeting was on this verse that Jiva Goswami cites in the previous purport on the Madhyama Vaishnava, 7th canto, 9th chapter, 43rd verse. This is Pallad Maharaj to Lord Nrisimhadev. Naivo dvije para duratya vaitaranya prad virya gayana mahamita magnachita so chaitato vimukachetasa indriyata maya sukaya param udvahato vimudham. O best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. In CC, Prabhupada translates, he said, I'm immersed in the ecstatic ocean of blissfully chanting your holy name, fully satisfied in that. Again, Prabhupada's translation in the 7th canto goes on, I'm not afraid of material existence at all, because I'm fully absorbed in your, you know, thoughts of your glories and activities. I am, though, concerned out of love for those fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and for maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned out of love for them. So this is the compassion of the Vaishnava. It awakens. It just naturally awakens as one's love for Krishna increases, because he's just so appreciative and respectful, has so much love for Krishna's part and parcels. It's a natural evolution that takes place, a change in vision. We can't artificially do that. Okay, so I better stop here and take questions if there are any, or comments or corrections. Ladies first. This is part of etiquette, you know, ladies first, right?
We just read up there on the screen that the Kanista, to move into the Madhyama platform, he perceives the mental activities of the devotee.
Of a genuine devotee, yeah. Okay.
Can you just expand on that a little bit?
Okay, so there's a step-by-step process. You notice in that reference, that was the last thing we had up there. Is it still there? In the purport, next to the last paragraph. There's a progression. When one, comes to the platform of understanding, of realizing the transcendental nature of the holy name, right? That's the first step. Then his material consciousness begins to slacken. I think that's the order. And then one begins to understand. So that's the first step. We chant more and more seriously. And then we understand the workings of the mind of a genuine devotee. How do we understand the workings of the mind of a genuine devotee? Where does that come from? Well, what's the Bhagavatam all about? Pastime after pastime, revealing the workings of the mind of a genuine devotee. And then, so then what we can do, we can position ourselves, here's the workings of the mind of a genuine devotee, and here's my mind. Oh my God. So then naturally, if we're interested in advancing, what do we do about it? How do we get this contaminated consciousness to where it should be? And so we've got the devotional process, but this contaminated consciousness is often referred to by our acharyas or Srila Prabhupada as a nartus. So how do we get rid of a nartus? Well, There's a couplet. There's two verses from Bhajan Rahasya. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on Harinam Chintamani that gives the essence of this process of anartha nirvritti. It's just really powerful. This is Bhajan Rahasya 2.42, and then there's a subsequent verse 43. So, one who fails to try to free himself from anarthas in this lifetime meets only with misfortune and does not attain the mercy of the holy name. Okay, so you got to do it. somehow or other. Okay, so then the next verse, it seems almost contradictory. He says that on one's own, one can't free himself from anarthas. But if he cries to the holy name for several days, then the holy name will remove the anarthas from his heart. So that, you know, connects with the Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daivyesha Gunamayim Amahamayandrataya Mamevaye Papadyante Mayamitam Turantite. This divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. But for one who has strengthened them to me, they can easily cross beyond it. So it's not something that we can do on our own. It's not by brute intellectual strength, not by heavy-duty austerities that we can come to the Madhyama Vaishnava platform where we're dealing with devotees nicely. We're glad to see them. We give them embraces. We're not rude. You know, we don't criticize. It's not like that. We can't do it just by some mental control system. We do this by getting the mercy of the holy name, and we get the mercy of the holy name by the Vaishnavas. This is what's described also in text 5 of the purport, Nectar of Instruction, text 5, where this process of diksha, you know, where it takes us from a materially attached position to a materially detached position. And you know, so the mercy, we get bhakti originally, as I was reading, you know, from the Madhyama, so the spiritual master, the Madhyama Vaishnava, maybe his Uttama coming down to the Madhyama, he gives us the bhakti, and then we get encouragement from him. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says that he treats us, that a Madhyama treats the Kanishtha Bhakta like an honored guest, and just so sweet with him. But he has this responsibility to imbue strong faith and sambandhagyan, you know, knowledge and faith, you know, and then that's his responsibility. It's the hallmark of the Madhyama Vaishnava to do just that. Okay. Did I do it? It was okay? Yeah. Anything else? And before you leave, don't forget to get your devotional development self-assessment. Okay, it's right here. Okay, one more point here. Two more points. Okay, men, we give the men equal. All men and women are created equal. Yeah, they are. No, actually, they're not. This is the. Is that from the Bill of Rights or something? Okay. Go ahead, Phil.
A Kanishtha Adhikari can be a guru. But if you take initiation from a Kanishtha Adhikari, that's as far as you can advance.
Right.
So that's a somewhat of a... What do you do if that happens?
What do you do if that happens? Well, you can take shiksha from a Madhyama. Take shiksha from a Uttama. Not necessarily, you know, and just pray that your Diksha Guru makes advancement. Yeah, so that was a problem in the early days of our movement, you know, after Prabhupada left. Just by having the title of initiating spiritual master, one was considered to be an Uttama Vaishnava. But history proved that that wasn't the case because there were many fall downs. That's not as common now because the movement's really matured. You know, devotees have matured. So, I mean, the prescription, I remember when this was really prominent, you know, when there were a lot of fall downs, the GBC put together a paper on Guru Tattva. And one of the points that they made is if a Diksha Guru falls down, the best position is to wait and pray for his well-being and don't reject him and then hope that he comes back to the proper standard. But that doesn't mean that one shouldn't, you know, take strong shiksha from Srila Prabhupada or from someone else. It's not that you just become envious, oh, this rascal, look what he did, you know? And, you know, because we've also seen that some of these original gurus, you know, have come back and done quite a bit of service. And actually are very sincere. They just were overwhelmed, you know, by the responsibilities that came their way preliminarily. But there was also kind of a strategic mistakes that were made, you know, in arranging for worship on a level similar to Srila Prabhupada. They became a little proud because of that, you know, and that pride preceded the fall. So, you know, with Prabhupada's presence, they were very empowered devotees. But then when Prabhupada, they lost the Bapu and they became bewildered. So we see, I mean, I know devotees, I have some friends that have gone through 3 Diksha Gurus and are properly situated with the 3rd one. And they've just stayed strong. You know, they took shelter of Prabhupada. So it doesn't necessarily, you know, there's many calamities that happen in a devotee's life, but they can actually be stepping stones for further advancement if handled properly. This is one of the most bewildering and most difficult challenges that a devotee undergoes, and we've seen this in a movement, but it doesn't mean that it's not surmountable, because many have done it. But many have also lost their confidence in ISKCON and left the process of devotional service. It's important to, you know, be taking instruction for someone that's more advanced than we are. You know, if we're on the Madhyama platform, a Madhyama stays on the Madhyama platform unless he gets the associate and takes Shiksha from an Uttama. And same with the Kanishtha, he either from a Madhyama or a Uttama. Uttama is the best. Prabhupada's, you know, he's the founder of Acharya and, you know, the Shiksha Guru, foundational Shiksha Guru for every member of ISKCON. That's very appropriate. This is not Ritvik philosophy. This is a very valid understanding. He's the Adi Guru. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes about this in Harinam Chintamani. So, we've got very, very strong footing, you know, in our relationship with Srila Prabhupada, but we should also have all respect and loving relationship with our Diksha Guru. If Diksha Guru has trouble, we wait. We pray for, you know, his reinstatement or for his spiritual strength, like that. And some Diksha Gurus have gone through this and become incredibly advanced, passing through the test, the anartha nivritti that Krishna arranged for them, and maybe even in the form of public ridicule. Yeah, but we have to be careful not to prematurely give up. You know, I mean, this was also a phenomenon that took place in our movement, where many devotees took shelter of Gaudiya Math members, thinking that this guy didn't have the qualification to help me spiritually advance. Prabhupada's there. You know, nobody that comes close to Prabhupada in terms of Shakti is great level of spiritual evolution. Okay, yes.
I just wanted to say that there was another definition I heard that Srila Prabhupada gave in a class about the characteristic or distinction between a Madhyama and Kanishtha Adhikari. It was in a class that Karnapura Prabhu played a few weeks ago on a Sunday. And in that lecture, Srila Prabhupada says that a devotee who is just simply satisfied with following rules and regulations and who is only concerned about his own spiritual life is a Kanishtha Adhikari. Yeah. But as soon as one wants to share and help others, then he's a Madhyama Adhikari. Yeah. So I just thought it was very simple because these other explanations are more detailed. But that's like a very simple you know.
So that level of compassion to be motivated to help others is the hallmark of the Madhyama. But that doesn't change, you know, Tad Adineshu Maitri, you know, Yadunandan Swami did a master's thesis on fall down from sannyas in ISKCON. And what he found, he interviewed many devotees that had left the sannyas ashram, and he found a common denominator in every single one of them, that they had insufficient Tad Adineshu Maitri, that they didn't make friendships with fellow Madhyamas. And so they wreaked havoc in their spiritual life. So, and then, of course, the Balishesha Kripa, you know, that's important. And then if we do Dvisatsu, you know, Balishesha Kripa is the compassionate mood. But then the Dvisatsu Upeksha, you know, if one doesn't neglect the envious, then that can be a cause of fall down. You know, if one associates too closely, the Madhyama can become disturbed. So they're all there, you know, and then the Ishvara Prem, you know, we got to love Krishna, give our heart. What did I leave out?
I'm sure he must have mentioned in his thesis without seeing it that they artificially thought they were Uttama. That's why they didn't associate with others. They thought they were Madhyamas. I'm Uttama.
Yeah.
And they may be in all neophytes. Therefore, Prabhupada said, if you artificially assume you're an Uttama, you'll definitely fall down in the purport in the tradition.
Yeah. Yeah, that one shouldn't imitate a person on a higher level of advancement. This is text 5 of Nectar of Instruction. I actually didn't read the thesis. I just heard that that was a prominent feature. Yeah, well, I'm sure he did, but... Okay. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Don't forget your devotional development self-assessment. There's also an answer sheet. I think everyone will be able to figure it out.